Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 80 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is, once again, Rebecca Denniston from Taking Up Room and Taking Up More Room. Welcome back to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rob. We're back.
We are back. I've been having a lot of fun this week. Hopefully you have too. Hopefully you've stored up enough energy just to this last push of the last one this week.
Yeah, the home stretch.
That's right.
Yep.
So minute 80 begins with Miller seeming to have an epiphany and ends with Wade just looking on in surprise. So we ended things yesterday with Miller just looking out at all these soldiers that are walking past them, and he seems to have figured something out. You know, we're not really sure what it is, and he continues to look at them, and then he like puts his hand on his face and looks down at the dog tags that he has in his hand, and then he puts them back on the table with all the others, and then he just goes, "He's not here." Mm-hmm. And then he goes, maybe we could bust up into a couple of different groups, huh? And wander the woods like Hansel and Gretel, calling his name. He's bound to hear us sooner or later. Ryan. And so before we continue with what's being discussed here and stuff like that, so he mentions Hansel and Gretel. So what do you know about the story of the folktale of Hansel and Gretel?
Well, I know that there have been different versions of it, but the most famous one is the Brothers Grimm version.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
With the kids finding the supposed little grandma in the woods, and she keeps trying to fatten them up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you are correct. The Brothers Grimm version is the most popular one. It was written in 1812 and was published as part of Grimm's Fairy Tales. And the story of Hansel and Gretel, they're two siblings who are abandoned in the forest and fall into the hands of a witch who lives in a house made of either bread, cake, sugar, depending on the version, you know, candy. Yep. And the witch wishes to eat them and prefers to fatten them up beforehand. In the end, Gretel saves her brother by actually pushing the witch into her own oven and killing her. And they're able to escape with the witch's treasure and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Brothers Grimm actually claimed that the source of this was a tale of something from Hesse, which is the area that they grew up in. And they claim to have heard this particular story from a friend of the family. It's actually the woman who actually married one of them. I mean, obviously the story has changed many times over the years, about what the one, because isn't Hansel and Gretel also the one with the breadcrumbs?
Yes, that's right. The trail of breadcrumbs through the woods.
Yeah. They use breadcrumbs and they get eaten up by the birds. So therefore they can't find their way back. And then the next time they use rocks or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. They use pebbles.
Yeah, and then there's right. And the famous idea that, when the witch tells Gretel to get into the oven, she says, "I don't know how," and basically convinces the witch herself to go in. You know, show me how to do that. And she goes in there and, that's her undoing.
Yeah.
That point. So
nice save, Gretzky. Very good.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And after Miller makes the declaration that he's bound to hear us sooner or later if we just screaming his if we start screaming his name. So at this point, Mike says, "That might be a little hard to do, Captain." Now, what do you think he means by that phrase?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is that there's just so many guys around there. It just seems kind of fruitless. It's like you could be doing this until the proverbial cows come home, and you probably won't find him, or you may find the wrong Ryan, you know. So it just seems a little futile.
Right. I mean, I think that is definitely a strong possibility that that's what he means. But he could also be meaning that you know, that he's not going to be able to hear us because he's dead.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that he just may be dead and we don't know about it yet. So yeah. Either way, it's like, don't waste your breath, sir.
Yeah, like we shouldn't be wasting our time doing this because we're not going to find him. I mean, Mike had the famous line, you know, months ago when we were talking about it, where he says it's like finding a needle in a stack of needles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is more or less what they're supposed to be doing here. You know, this is not a simple task of finding this one soldier somehow throughout Normandy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're doing a nice job of following the clues, but still, you know, actually they're not even following clues. They're using stepping stones to try to find some sort of clue, which each time they don't find a clue, but, you know, it's still, you know, and at this point, Miller then just says, hey, well, maybe the locals have seen him. And he starts walking besides all the soldiers that are walking past them, they have a whole bunch of, French peasants that are walking past and stuff like that. You know, and this is the first time that I noticed in the background, you can see the wing of another glider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we saw the destroyed glider. But there's a glider behind them that all these peasants and soldiers are walking past and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then that's right. Miller then walks over to some of the locals and starts speaking French and says, "Hey, you know, parlez-vous anglais? Parlez-vous French and whatever." He goes, "Ryan, James Ryan, merci beaucoup," and he like pushes the guy forward like. He's sort of, in some ways, it looks like he's lost his mind the way that he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's not doing it in a very sane manner. The way that he's, maybe he's just out of it. You know, he's reached his wit's end at this point and said, okay, that's it. You know, we're not going to find
this guy. Mm-hmm.
So let's just do whatever we can, and maybe we'll get something. And you know, like, so he's at this French couple, and the woman just starts saying something in French, and he just like pushes her away.
Yeah.
You know, and continues down the line, and goes, Ryan, James, Ryan, merci beaucoup, Ryan. Anybody know Ryan, 101st Airborne?
And probably like, confused them. They're like, why do you keep saying nothing?
That's true also. That's a good point.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah. Yep. And then he's like in the midst of all the soldiers that are there, and he goes, "Ryan, you know a guy named Ryan, Private James Ryan from Iowa? Anybody know Ryan? James Ryan." And then at a certain point, one of the soldiers looks up and goes, "Hey, Joe, doesn't Mendelssohn pal around with a Ryan from C Company?" You know, and again, we talked about this I think a few weeks ago, about the number of James Ryans that there are, fighting in World War II. And I mean, I think we found 26 famous James Ryans, you know, on the list, not necessarily from World War II, but in general. So just can you imagine how many James Ryans there must have been, walking around Normandy at this point?
Yeah, it's like John Smith. You know,
exactly.
It's very, exactly. Very common.
Again, I mean, obviously it was done for comedic purposes, you know, just the fact that 2 weeks ago he found another James Ryan, you know, so even shouting out the name here, James Ryan, doesn't really help from, you know, even these soldiers who are saying that there's a, you know, Mendelssohn is palling around with a guy named Ryan from Z Company. It could be a different James Ryan. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the same James Ryan. My assumption, and I could be wrong, is that there's probably more than one James Ryan in the whole 101st Airborne. Probably.
Mm, yep.
So, it's interesting. Again, it's a shot in the dark, but apparently the shot in the dark has a potential payoff here, which worked. So I like the way that they do that here. Because we see Tom Hanks slash Miller just basically having what seems like he lost his mind, but in the end, he has it pays off because my assumption is he doesn't believe for a second that he's really going to be able to find James Ryan through this, but somehow he does. And I think as viewers, we don't expect him to find it either.
And I mean, at that point, it's just like you're going a little crazy because he's overwhelmed by all the names that he's looked at and all the guys that he's seeing, and it's like, I'm never going to find this guy. This is, what am I doing? So it's,
Yeah,
I'm just going to throw a rock and see what I hit,
that's right.
kind of thing.
Exactly.
I feel bad for him at that point.
And so when this paratrooper that is actually responding, and he turns to a guy named Joe. So in the credits, there's a character that's known as Paratrooper Joe. So my assumption is that this is the guy they're talking about. And he's played by an actor named Nick Brooks, who on IMDb has only 8 acting credits. So besides this movie, the only one that really jumped out at me was he was on the TV show Quantum Leap. He was on one episode where he played a character named Freddy. It was in the episode Shock Theater, which is actually one of my favorite episodes. I'm trying to think of who he is on that episode, but it's I don't know if you ever watched Quantum Leap back in the 90s.
No, probably little bits of it.
It was the episode where he was basically in an insane asylum, and they were using shock therapy on him, which caused a lot of problems with the technology of leaping and stuff like that. Whatever. I'm not going to get into it, but
That's
the
okay.
fact that there is a character, that the an actor in this movie was in that episode is pretty funny to me. From that
Yeah,
perspective. But
interesting.
again, I mean, IMDb doesn't give us very much information about him, besides that he has eight credits, and that's it. And I don't know who the other one is, the guy who's calling out to Joe, because we have paratrooper lieutenant, paratrooper number one. It could be either of them.
Yeah, it's
There's no way of
credited.
really knowing which one it is with the whole thing. But Joe responds and goes, "Yeah, I think so." So then the other guy goes, "Well, bring him up here, would you?" So
Yeah, that's
they seem to have possibly randomly found something. We're not 100% sure. We'll have to wait until Monday to find out what really happens with that. And Wade at this point, stands up and looks out at what's going on also. Wade's curiosity has been piqued. So they do that. I think it's
Classic redirection tactic.
Yeah, because again, we're not expecting it. It's so I like the way that this whole minute is something that you're like, okay, Miller has completely lost it, and then wait a second, it he actually is able to get another clue, to have things move forward. So that's just done really, really well from that perspective. And that's all I have for this minute. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss about this particular minute?
Not really. I mean, just again, it's just the redirection aspect of it. just like you can see him despair. It's just it's good character development, because you can see him despairing for a minute and then going, wait a minute, I'm gonna keep trying. Is anybody here called Ryan? Or do anybody know somebody called Ryan? So yeah. So he's like, no, can't give up, gotta find this guy.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how many things take place in that just that little teeny bit of time right there.
Correct. And I mean, I think that's something that reflects things that happen in life also, because sometimes, you know, you might reach a point where you've just had enough of something and you don't, and you've given up all hope, and then something just changes, you know, on the dime, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wait a second. You know, it's just, I remember I had an aunt that used to say that life is like a puzzle, you know, a jigsaw puzzle. That, you know, when you're putting together the pieces and stuff like that, you can't see the whole picture. But as you start uncovering pieces and putting them together, things start making more and more sense. And it could change your whole outlook on the whole thing.
Yep.
And she used another example that she said solitaire, life could be also like solitaire. You know, you flip over a card and it changes everything. You know, from that perspective. So, yes, a very wise woman.
Yep, sounds like it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I always like using those analogies, because I think that, because they make so much sense, because there is so much about the unknown, you know, that just happens, you know, something just switches and that's it.
It's like a light goes on.
That's right.
Exactly.
Completely.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about the movie in general?
Well, I'm glad I finally got to see it all the way through. You know,
I am glad you saw it too.
All week. No, that I skipped, for years, I skipped the first part of it, the first 30 minutes of it, because my husband warned me, you know, you may not like it. But now I've gotten to see all the whole movie, and it's like, that is an amazing piece of work. That's just, everything just came together just so, so, so well. And when even the veterans who see the movie and they look at it and they go, wow, this is really accurate, that tells you something. That's such a big stamp of approval right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. It's just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. So if and when you decide to rewatch this movie in the future, are you going to skip the first half hour, or are you going to now watch the whole thing in full?
Does
it depend on your mood?
Probably on my mood, but I think I'd probably brave the whole thing. It's context. You got to have the whole thing.
Right. Okay. And actually, after you catch up, you know, listening on the whole podcast, so maybe it'll give you a new perspective on how to look at those scenes also.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been enjoying this.
Very cool. All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg directed movies. Having to go through his whole filmography and, you know, just making, choosing only five is not easy, but, you know, that is your job.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there's going to definitely be some overlap here with the things I picked. So, but whatever. Great minds think alike and all that stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So I put for actually have a two movies that tied on here, because I just couldn't figure out which one to put first. So but I'll start with the bottom. Number five, I said Catch Me If You Can, because again, very interesting movie, different kind of movie from what we usually expected from Spielberg. You know, this very bait and switch kind of cerebral stuff, and you've got Tom Hanks and Leo DiCaprio, and yeah. It's just a lot of fun. I don't know if you heard this, but Frank Abagnale has lately been saying that he regrets doing the movie.
Really?
Which it's like,
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to be attached to it. What was in it wasn't true. And it's like, are you kidding? It took you how many years to say this? So it's a good movie. Leave it at that. Just live your life, man. So, okay. And then number five, I said, once again, we got The Terminal on here, because
Catch Me If You Can is
that's, or number four. Yeah.
Number four is The Terminal. Four, sorry. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Getting punchy here.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's okay. We're okay. The So yeah, the Terminal's number four, and that one, you know, again, very interesting film, very different film. It's insular, but it's not insular. It's Victor Navorsky against the system, trying to get out into America, but he's stuck there for 9 months. And I don't know, it's just one of those movies that you just want to see him grow and thrive in this environment that he's stuck in. And it was based on a true story. That's one of the cool parts about it, is there was actually a guy that got into this same kind of issue, and he was paid $250,000 for his story for the movie, and then they changed a lot of it. So yeah, it's got an interesting backstory. So yeah, the number three is Minority Report, and this was one I saw in the theater, and it just was so different, because you see Samantha Morton's face and she goes, "Murder." And I can't do it the way she did it, but it's so different for a Spielberg movie, because you expect the opening credits and the usual kind of movie setup thing. And here you have Samantha Morton saying one word and pretty much no credits. And here the movie starts. And it was like, and this is a Spielberg movie? Wow. Okay. Somebody wanted something different this time around, and yeah, here you go.
Apparently.
Yeah. So that was just really, really cool to see that and see what Spielberg could do when he decided to not do what he always did. And yeah, it was just really fun. Apparently the original story, he made a lot of changes. I've read the original story. It's nothing like the movie. So yeah, there were tons of changes, but yeah. Interesting departure for Spielberg as far as what we were used to with him. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, number two is the tie, because I mean, technically a tie because it's the same franchise, but I said Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. Because again, I mean, this is quintessential Spielberg right here. I mean, you got the humor, you got the hero, you've got the woman, you've got just all of these things, and it's just so classic. It's really hard to pick which one would be the favorite of both of them. So I just was like, no, I'm just not going to pick. I'll just let them share. And then the first one, and this one was kind of a shock to me, because this movie was sort of a recent thing for me to watch, was Jaws. I would say that's my number one Spielberg film. Okay. And that's a real shock. Well, here's a little bit of backstory with this one. My seventh grade science teacher, this was her favorite movie. And she showed it every year in her class. She was famous for doing this. Mrs. Bauman was her name. And when it came time for my class to see it, I bowed out, because I thought, okay, it's going to be too scary, too bloody. I don't like that type of movie. I want to go to the library. And so I skipped it. And I did not see this movie until I became an adult. But when I saw it, it was like, whoa, this is genius. This is a work of genius right here. Even if the shark looks fake, this is good stuff. It's like, okay, Mrs. Bauman, you knew what you were doing here. So I should have trusted her. She had a picture of MacGyver over her desk, and that was one of my favorite shows too. So I should have trusted her, but I didn't. So this was
a late bloomer. The things we only figure out when we're adults.
That's right. Yeah. So.
All right. That is a great list. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
So Rebecca, would you like for one final time this week to tell people where they can find you?
Sure. Yeah, I'm at my blog is at takinguproom.com. And then the Substack Taking Up More Room is RebeccaDeniston.substack.com. And my social media handles, Twitter, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, all three of them are at Taking Up Room.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can send me an email at moviearoundminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, Rebecca, thank you very much for joining me this week. I've enjoyed myself. I hope you have too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, Rob.
All right, great.
I appreciate you asking me.
I'm glad. I mean, we've been in email contact for years, so you know,
yes.
Why not? You know, at one point, you know, break that barrier and you know, do a podcast for a week.
That's
Yeah,
right.
why not?
I'm glad we did.
Me too.
Yeah.
I am too. I've really enjoyed myself, and I
Me
hope
too.
everyone listening also has.
Yeah.
All right, so I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But so everyone have a great weekend. But until then, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude. You